Good evening, everyone. Let's all stand together. We're going to lift up our voices as we sing, Brethren, we have met to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down.
Good to see each of you out for Sunday night service. I let you know Brother Bruce was going to be coming. He's going to be presenting the Philippines. That's exciting. I saw him here.
He just slipped out.
Okay. Very good. There he is. I thought maybe he left. I don't know. But so we're looking forward to his presentation. For years, we've helped support him taking Bibles to the Philippines. And I think one other time you came and presented this, but it's much more updated. It's gotten so much less hair, so much more gray beard since the last time, just like me. But let's open up our service with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come this evening and worship you and pray that you'd be with us with this missions presentation. Help us to really catch a good vision of what's going on as Brother Bruce goes and presents the gospel in these schools and passes out Bibles. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's lift our voices together as we sing, You're the Word of God the Father across the lands.
You're the Word of God the Father from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man. And your cry of love rings out across the shouts, you rose victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives in your way. Now you stand before the Father, interceding for your own. From each tribe and every nation, you are leading sinners home. You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land. fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raise with him to endless life. He will hold me fast till our faith is turned to sight. When he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so.
Brother Bruce, why don't you introduce your lovely wife, Sharon? She goes with you to the Philippines sometimes, too.
Okay. This is my lovely wife, Sharon. And whether we're together or 12,000 miles apart, we're still together, so...
And we certainly, this morning in Bible Hour, we had prayer for you about Bruce's mom just passed away a couple days ago.
Yep.
And for any of us that have lost a parent, we know that's very hard. But she was a strong believer.
Strong believer.
Maybe you can share a little of that testimony.
Okay. It's your time. We may not get out of here. No.
It's your time.
We'll be good. Well, I want to thank you, Pastor Tim, for this opportunity to be here tonight. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the Word of God tonight. And since Tim gave me that opportunity, my sister got saved through a Christian ministry at UVM. She was 2 years younger than me, and she came home and she talked to my parents about Christ, and they got saved when they were in their 40s, pushing 50. And they started helping the church plant that is now Faith Baptist Church in Winooski. And the Northside Baptist Church actually started in their living room. My parents saw an ad. They were driving that long distance from St. Albans down there. My dad had an old beater van, And it had a couple bench seats, just loose bench seats in the back, and he would fill that van up and take it down to Winooski for the services. And they responded to the ad, and they started a Bible study in their living room. And from that came Northside Baptist Church, a storefront on Kingman Street, and then bought a property on Route 7, and then built the church where we are now. So it's been an interesting journey. And all the time they had that Bible study in their home, I was just so angry, so upset that they were leaving our religion and getting involved in this cult, you know. And I was just so upset by that. And then the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God did a work in my heart and brought me to Christ. So my mom and dad were definitely led up to my salvation. My mom's faith, my dad's faith definitely led up my salvation. But anyway, I want to, before I get into the slides from the Philippines, I want to just do a short message from the Word of God. 4-point sermon in about 10 minutes. Now, you've never heard a Baptist preacher do that before. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to be in verses 8 to 17 tonight. So if you would stand together for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. we will look at those verses together. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah has said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abba, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open our holy Bible and to hear from you tonight. I just pray that nobody came to hear from me tonight, Lord, but they came to hear from you. And that your Holy Spirit would take your holy word and just minister to each and every one of our hearts. Mine as I deliver the message that you've put on my heart tonight, but for each hearer as they hear the word and take that word and apply it to their lives and maybe just praise you for the word that has already changed our lives. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by grace through faith. Where does that saving faith come from? Verse 17 in our text tonight, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our first point tonight is the word of faith, Romans 10, 8. Paul is talking about this word of faith, which we preach. And we have not changed that message. For 2,000 years, we're still preaching the same gospel that the Apostle Paul was preaching back then. The message is not saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we believe on him, we can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. The second point tonight is a great promise. In Romans 10, 13, the word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that promise of God. Amen. That's not my promise. That's a promise of God. I have no idea how many kids and teachers have got saved in the Philippines, but I know some have. I've heard thousands upon thousands of teachers and kids pray a sinner's prayer after hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. And I do believe that message. Why would I go to the Philippines? Because I believe that message right there. If they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. The third point is we have a message from God. We all know John 3:16, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's that word again, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I'm sure that most of you here tonight would be familiar with the Romans Road. And we start down the Romans Road, how we're all sinners, and we all come short of the glory of God. And that, the penalty, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then when we get down to the end of the sinners, the Romans Road, we come to these verses right here. Verse 9, that if God has given us all that free will, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, Some of the most beautiful words in the Bible, thou shalt be saved. There's another promise from God. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Back on April 1st, 1979, about 2 weeks before Easter Sunday that year, my mother invited Sharon and I to go to a church service at Faith Baptist Church. Now, going back a few months to either Christmas or Thanksgiving, my mother had been talking about Jesus the whole day we were there. And finally, I just blew up and I cursed my mom. And I told her if she did not shut up, that I was going to go home, I was going to take the grandkids with me, and she would never see them again. I've heard enough of this Jesus stuff. You know what my mom did? She stood, she's only about this tall. You and Doris, you and my mom would have looked eyeball to eyeball. She cried. Tears just started running down her face. And she said, I'll be praying for you. You know what that did? That broke my heart. I didn't confess it then. But when she asked us to go to church that Sunday, I went because I told her I'd never go to that church again. I'd been down there once or twice already. And Norm Frank, some of you are around long enough to know Norm, was singing and preaching that day. You know what he preached on when I got done singing? John 3:16. And the rope is rope. Before we got there, I told my wife, they're going to give an invitation. I don't care what that preacher says. You stay in your seat. Norm said, if you want to get saved, stand up. Everybody else is sitting down. Now, everyone's got their head bowed, eyes closed, but I knew people were peeking. He said, stand up. So I stood up. I had my eyes closed. And then he said, we want to talk to you. If you're standing now, we want to talk to you. So come forward. And I opened my eyes and my wife was standing beside me. And we looked at each other. We didn't know the other one had stood up until that moment when we opened our eyes. So we got saved the same day, but independently, you know what I mean? And since then, our life has been changed. So why do I go to the Philippines and preach that message? I tell those kids when I go in, I'm going into classrooms of kids in cities that are 90% Catholic. There's Muslims there with their little head scarves on and all that kind of stuff. I tell them that I am here just to share with you the greatest gift I ever received. I'm not going to try to talk you into doing something you don't want to do. I'm not here to trick you, deceive you, anything like that. I just want to have a few minutes to share with you the greatest gift I ever received. And what do I preach on? John 3:16, the Romans Road. And then we do an invitation prayer and then we hand out Bibles. Why would I do that? Because I believe God's promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul asks some questions in Romans chapter 10. When we get down here in verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that's why I'm here tonight, is to ask you to partner with me and get me out of the state of Vermont for about a month. I'm not asking for personal support. I'm not asking for money for airline tickets. Northside has already voted to pay my airline tickets. I'm here to ask you for money to buy Bibles. Because as you're going to see in a few minutes, I believe in the power of the Word of God, and I know you do too. As you're going to see in a few minutes, most of my ministry on the island of Mindanao is passing out Bibles in high school. I get 15, 20 minutes per classroom or group of students to preach. Sometimes if it's a whole school, they'll give me like 30. John 3:16, the Romans Road. And give them an opportunity to preach Christ. And I'm going to keep my shoes on, so I'm not going to prove this, but I've got about the ugliest feet that you can ever imagine. But they've left some beautiful tracks in the Philippines. And I can't do that alone. It's people like you who have supported me, been my partners, helped me buy Bibles. They don't let me into the schools to preach the gospel because of my good looks. They wouldn't let me into the country if it was all my good looks. They let me in because we come bearing a gift of a Bible for each student in those high school classes. That's what opens the doors. It's not me. It's the Bibles that open the door, not me. I want to go to the slideshow now. Talking about these Bibles so far, we have distributed 213,000 New Testaments over the years I've been going there since 2001. So we've done about 213,000. So this trip, we should go over 250,000, which I think is amazing. I think absolutely amazing. And we heard that the price was going up. I was so happy because a month ago we had already had $20,000 in the account in the Philippines. Last time we went, we had 24,000 New Testaments and we ran out at the end. 24,000. But you'll see how easy it is to go through thousands of Bibles each day. But then I got a call, and they no longer printed New Testaments in the dialect that we need, because it's not the main language of the Philippines. We're down in the south. It's a different dialect, different language completely. So we had to deal with the reality that these Bibles are going to be about $1.50 each. So now, instead of looking at 20,000, you got to take a third off from that, because of the increase in the price. And my heart was heavy, but just for a little while, because I remember that with God, all things are possible. I think I've heard that someplace, Pastor Tim. And right now, if we had 24,000 at the new price, if I did my math correctly, it would be $36,000. And to me, that was just an impossible task. But right now, through the grace of God and the gifts of churches like this, we're standing at about $33,000. So, am I blown away? Absolutely. But that's the kind of God we have, isn't it? I was going to do just the schools, but that's really not my whole ministry over there. I've been going over there for over 20 years, so I have an intimate relationship with the people in these churches. This last time, I got to minister to two widows whose pastors' husbands had died just before I got there. That was a significant ministry. They needed me to hold their hand. Some of you guys know Brother Jerry Maluyao. When I was there, he was in Cebu dying in the hospital. So I got to minister to his family. His daughter left her teaching position hours away from the church. After school, got there at the church about 7 o'clock at night, had to get up in the morning at about 4 o'clock to get back to the school just so she could come and talk to Pastor Bruce because her dad was dying. Another young couple in the island of Mindanao had twin baby girls, and I got to minister to them. What's the significance of that? Because one was perfectly healthy and the other one was born with a hole in her heart. And in the Philippines, you don't send them to Boston Children's Hospital and have them a surgery that could save their life. If you don't have the money, your baby dies. Less than 12 hours after I left them that morning, their baby died. So God just, I can't explain how God uses me over there, but he just puts me in these different situations with different people. So this is not, I'm in three islands, Leyte, Cebu, Mindanao. The year 2000, three Filipino pastors showed up, two pastors, one Bible college student showed up at our house, and they stayed with us for 5 weeks while we're building the church. Pastor Taylor and other pastors gave them meetings, allowed them to come and raise some support, and then they would come back and work on the church through the week until Wednesday night. They'd be gone, they'd come back Thursday morning, they'd be sitting in my driveway at 7 o'clock. Come on, pastor, we got a church to build, let's go. You know, and we just developed such a sweet relationship with those guys. So that's why I go to those three islands. Those are the three islands that those guys came from. Leyte, Cebu, Mindanao, they all speak the same dialect. And they've become very good friends through this. Now, I hope I make this work correctly. This is about 46 hours after I left my daughter's house in Boston. I've been on airplanes, sitting in airports, and finally a car ride to get to this church. Pastor Emmanuel Barreso in the island of Leyte. An hour and a half later, I was preaching at his church for the prayer meeting. They gave me long enough to take a shower, and they said, okay, now we'll go to work. And then we ate dinner, and then I passed out for about 8 hours, I think. So I got to preach at their prayer meeting. Sharon and I actually helped physically build this building. And our church has helped them twice when it got blown, first construction, then when it got blown apart by a super typhoon. Pastor Ricky, Fidel Recall was the pastor who started this church. Pastor Ricky has taken it over. So I got to be at that church. We've helped build that twice before and after the typhoon. Fidel started this church on one end of town. And this pastor has taken over that church. And then he started this church at the other end of town. And this pastor has taken over that church. Fidel was the main pastor. Pastor Ricky was the assistant pastor at one of these churches. So at this church here, one Saturday, I was complaining to Fidel. I had nothing to do. And he said, were you willing to help build the church? I said, sure, whatever you want me to do, Elder. Got over there. And we were digging the hole by hand for the septic tank. 6 feet deep, 6 feet long, 4 feet wide, 100 degrees. They got a tarp over the hole so we wouldn't die in there. And so Pastor Ricky and I spent 6-7 hours digging that hole. So we got to know each other pretty well. And then got to preach at one of their missionary churches that they're planning. This is Pastor Zosimo Casiano's church. It's in a different island, different dialect, 2-hour drive. And that's Pastor Zosimo. Oh, let me go back one. There we go. I got the toy. I can't find it. Anyway, he's in the yellow shirt beyond my left. And Pastor Barreso is the host pastor of the big church, who's on the right. So I got to be there. I've known them for years. This young man is Pastor John, John Bruce Casiano. My wife and I were there when he was born. The parents had no money. We slipped them a little bit of money. And the next thing I knew, I had a grandson in the Philippines named after me, John Bruce. He's an artist, and he drew my picture. I told him I thought he did a great job. He took an ugly old man and made him look pretty good in that picture. And then I couldn't bring it home because it was glued to the whatever they mounted on, and with glass on it. It was glued to the glass, and just no way I could get it home. Another little church that I got to preach at that night, little mission church. And then back at the main church on Sunday, that normally there was, pre-COVID, there was about 300 or 400 that were attending that church on a regular basis. They have a school, a Christian school, plus they have a Bible college, so they have all sorts of singing groups of all ages. We've been friends for many, many years. Just an incredible blessing. And then that next morning, I got up early and went to the island of Cebu. This is Pastor Frank Denisi. He's out of a church in Massachusetts. He grew up with my nephews. His mom and my sister were like the best of friends. The uniqueness about these five Bible college students is that they're all deaf, and they are all training for the ministry. Those guys are training to be pastors. I think one of them's already planting a church as we speak. And that little sign they're making says, "I love you" in Filipino. So they just wanted to say, "I love you." And so I got to preach to that church. And once again, just another one of those sweet relationships with. This is Pastor Fidel's building. He was the Bible college student who came over 20 years ago in the summer of 2000. And he is hosting this pastor's fellowship. They went through a tough time there during COVID. They had over 100 pastors that died on the island of Leyte. Over 100 pastors that died on that island. Say nothing about church members. 100 pastors. So Fidel is now in Cebu, and he's rented this place. He has got a brand new building that's almost finished. This is Tony Hongan's church, also in Cebu. And that's Tony there. Tony was a lot younger when him and I were putting the shingles on Northside Baptist Church. But I'm just praying if God would be gracious that he would keep both of us alive till this October so we can minister again one more time. After his wife died, he was just devastated. So now his grandson is the pastor there. We went up to this little mountain church. And I got to preach up here to the women and children because the men were all at work. There were no men present other than the pastors and a couple guys that went with us. And now there's a church standing on that lot that they've probably already got 60 members in that church. Every place you go with their hospitality, you have to have a snack. Snack up here in the mountains was a baked banana and half a sweet potato. And that was the snack. And that was a great snack. And when whatever you get, you eat it, you say thankful, you be thankful for it because it's an insult if you don't. Even if they are very, very poor, you take what you're given, you eat it, and you show your thankfulness. And you cannot give them money. But I have found that it's okay for me to give the pastor a love offering for the family, and then he can pass it on. So I make sure that wherever I go, that we do not cost these dear people money. And then I checked with the pastor, and he said it was okay. I gave this lady some money, and she went up to one of the little stores and bought snacks to hand out to the kids. This is back in the main church. Each night they were having a revival-type service with all the churches coming together. Since it was a weeknight, a lot of people were working. There wasn't going to be anybody, a big crowd at any church, so they brought them all together. And this was the last night. These are all the pastors that were present for that last service. And then Friday night, I got to preach at Pastor Jolly De La Cruz Church. And he is just doing a great work there. Saturday morning, I went back to the same church for a children's ministry. If you're wondering, I know the form was perfect and everything, but I missed by a mile. But they didn't care because Pastor Bruce was there doing fist bumps and high fives and playing basketball with them. And then we went inside for the Bible study. This is at Fidel's church again on that Saturday later in the day, another children's ministry. And I got to share a little gospel message there. Then Sunday, we're back at the main church. That's Tony's grandson, Earl. If you ask him, I'm his American grandfather. He will tell you that. And they had a great, this was like the best service that they had had post-COVID. They just had a great turnout. And then after the service, they asked a silly question. They said, "We have two new believers to be baptized. Would you like to baptize them?" Of course I would. The water is so shallow that I bet we are at least 200 yards off from shore. And the water was up to our knees and the mud was up above our ankles. So I started out with flip-flops on. Not smart. Not smart at all. Didn't work. And then the next morning, I got on up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock on the first plane to Mindanao. This is the first school that I got to preach in and hand out Bibles. I was late getting there because I was supposed to take an all-night ferry. Nobody told me till that Saturday that the ferry wasn't running since COVID hit. So I had to find a plane ride and get there. So it made the whole time late because I didn't get to Mindanao until 8 o'clock, and then we had to travel 3 hours to get here. But these kids heard the gospel, they received the Bible. And then after that, I went up to Christian school. Pastor Dandy Pondock's the pastor there. And he and his wife run that Christian school. And I got to preach to them, preach to some of the parents of the kids. And then it's on to the schools. This is Pagadian City. There's a couple thousand kids right there. So preach the gospel, pass out the New Testaments. And then we went on to another school. There's probably 700 or 800 kids here, I think, if I remember right. Preach the gospel, panned out the Bibles. You can see that the mask mandate was kind of there and not there. You know, some were wearing them, some were not. A lot of people were fearful and still not allowing their kids. So I preached in those two main schools. Then I got to go to this school, total of about 100 kids. They brought them together in three classrooms or maybe even two classrooms. But it was a small private school. We got to preach to them. We stopped by this guy, Lito Galuta. He was one of my bodyguards when I was first going there to protect me from the Muslims when he was about six. You know, and this is his brother, Jesse, on the far right in the short sleeve white shirt. These two guys have done a great job. They just are doing a great job planting churches. Got to preach at Jesse's church that night. Saw several people saved. Anytime I show up, it's a bad day for the pig. And everywhere I go, whether it's a banana and a sweet potato or a pig roast, they want to do something special. So before I leave the church, my church, will take up an offering about $3,000. So each one of these churches, I'm in about 25, 26 different churches. So each one of these churches we're going to, we give them $50, we give them $100. They're doing a big thing, maybe $200, so that we do not become a financial burden on them. Because if you go to their house, they will bring you a Coke. Coke got there before the gospel did, I think. They will bring you a Coke, but then their kids won't eat for a few days because they brought you a Coke. You know, so that's the kind of hospitality you run in there. So we try to make very sure that we do not cost them money. This is Jesse's church from the outside. The next morning we headed out. We're going to high school. The high school we couldn't go to because they were doing a surprise teacher appreciation day, which really surprised us. So Pastor Jade, at about 6 o'clock in the morning, got us set up to preach in this college. So I got to preach in this college. Let's see if I can make this thing work here. Come on, baby. There we go. Am I pointing it the wrong way or something? I don't know. Anyway, this little girl with a striped shirt doing the peace sign, when she got her Bible.
Here, hand it to the members.
I am so incompetent, Tim. I tell you, I need all the help I can get. Oh, it is working.
See the star?
Oh, I'm pushing the center button.
That's okay.
Duh. Thank you. So the top button. Oh, look at that. It doesn't take much to amuse me anymore. I'm going through my second childhood. But that young lady right there, she will stand out in my memory. She got her Bible. She hugged it to her breast. And she started weeping. She just started weeping. Because she had her very own copy of the Word of God. She just started weeping. Why do you go over there? How could I not go over there? Just Jade, this was an empty lot. Now he's got a church that's about 3/4 built there. That's the building that they were renting, which was right across the street from the lot. The young man in the striped shirt, he's dead now. His name is Arnolfo Gonzaga. If you follow me on Facebook, you've seen the story, but his wife is a widow now with two little kids. He had colon cancer. He didn't get to go to the hospital I went to when I had my appendix out. He went to the local clinic where they did the surgery. They took out about 18 inches of bowel and a huge mass, put him back together again, and a few months later, he passed. So I got to spend time with another one of my, all three of these guys are my grandsons. Every one of them calls me Pastor Lolo. So, you know, there's no impartiality there, but he's gone now. I won't see him again, but he just was a great guy, a good church. Got to preach at this little church. This is the church where one of the widows was. This young lady was Roger Luna's wife, and I got to spend some time with her. And we were supposed to stay there for dinner after the feast, but Pastor Rolando had me scheduled to preach at another church that night as well. My trouble, that other church was about 2.5 hours away in a driving snowstorm, and we ran into a truck that was broadside in the ditch and had to go around it. So we obviously didn't get there on our time schedule, but we did get there. These people have been waiting over 2.5 hours for me to get there. And I just preached a little 15-minute message, and then we had a feast afterwards. This gentleman right here with the white shirt, when I was there 22, it would have been the previous time that I could go. I guess it would have been 18. But anyway, maybe even 17. I was preaching at this church before this building was made, and right down here, this elderly gentleman was there, and I preached John 3:16, the Romans Road, and a little bit more because it was an anniversary service. That guy professed Christ as his Savior, 70-something years old. He professed Christ as Savior. When the service was over, he went up and he found the pastor, who was about 22, and he said, "Pastor, I need to get baptized." He said, "I've just trusted Christ my Savior. I need to get baptized." Not all the blessings happen in the schools, just a lot of them. And this elementary school, we didn't pass out Bibles here. They just heard that Pastor Bruce was in town, and the teachers wanted me to come over and just open up their school for the day and say some nice words to the kids and have a time of prayer. And they know me over there now because I've been there for about 15 trips probably, and they know me. And who knows, maybe one of those kids was in high school when I was preaching 20 years ago. I have run into that. I'll go to schools and the teacher will say, "I remember you when you came to our school when I was a little girl or a teenage girl." We stopped by here, Brother Reggie Lagunas's. He's in the red shirt standing in the back. Another one of my grandsons and his wife. Their daughter's name is Sharon. Guess who she's named after? And then we went to this school. And I do have to tell a story about this school. First time I preached there was years ago. Reggie was about 22 or 23. He got me an invitation to go here. We went here, we preached the gospel, we handed out the Bibles, and we left. A couple weeks later, he got a call from the superintendent of the whole school district, about 8 schools, 30,000 kids. And the superintendent, he was a little nervous. Uh-oh, what now? The superintendent said, "We have seen such a difference in the children in this school where that American preacher came. We want to pay your lunch and your gas money so that you can go to every school in our district and preach the message that that American preacher preached."
Amen.
You imagine that? So it wasn't just the 3,000 kids. You know, now we got 30,000 kids. They didn't all get Bibles, but they heard the gospel. It just blows me away. The whole thing just continually blows me away. So preach, give an invitation, pass out, move on to the next school. This school was smaller, probably 500 kids, I think. And this was another school later on that same day. We only did the juniors and seniors there. So there was about 600, I think, juniors and seniors that we got to preach to that day because we're starting to run out of Bibles. We had to be careful on how many we're planting out. So they did that hoping that I'd be back this year so that we could do the freshmen and sophomores would now be juniors and seniors when I go back. This Pastor Reggie and his wife, their church. And then we went up into the mountains to this school. We're late as usual, which is right on time, Filipino time. Drives me nuts, Pastor Taylor. You know me. I like to be on time. if they're an hour late, no problem. The kids are sitting there in the sun waiting for you. The umbrellas were not for rain, they were for the intense heat. Once again, preach the word of God, give an invitation, pass out the Bibles, and then you always have to take pictures. And then we got to be in this little church for a church service afterwards. And that was a Wednesday night service. Brother June Cadero, I think you guys may know him. I got to hold the healthy twin. Her little sister died just after I left. There we go. And this is the church that he and his, Jaira and his wife have been building. They are the aunt and uncle to the baby who died. There we go. This little girl is supposed to ride with Pastor June Cadero, but that June is her grandfather, and she let her grandfather know that I was riding in their car to go to the next school, and then she sat on my lap, the next city, and she sat on my lap. She wasn't that big, but after about an hour and a half, both my legs were asleep. She was just a sweetheart, loves her Lolo. And then once again, here we go in the schools. This is schools that Pastor Jerry, Clarin, that's the young pastor that died. That was June School, one of the schools that we preached in. This is a unique thing. Rolando Pacong, he's the guy that initiated the first meeting when they came to Northside. He set this up so that I could preach at this service. 2,500 college students. 2,500 college students, plus the teachers and staff. They heard the gospel, had an opportunity to receive Christ, received the Bible. Afterwards, we ate dinner together. This is a combination. That meeting was a combination of education, the police department, and the church, which is the Baptist church that's doing this, not the Catholic church. And these three groups are working together to fight against drugs and, you know, promote moral living and all that kind of stuff. So they're really doing it. On to another school, about 1,000 kids. See why it's easy to go through 24,000 Bibles? And you know what? If they want a picture with the old man, I take a picture. You know what? They're just, those girls will treasure that. They tell me over there that I am a Facebook icon. That's not what I'm looking for, but some of them will have my whole message that I've done, and they will be posting it on their Facebook. And then it came Friday night, and I was exhausted. Oh man, I am so glad I'm done. And Rolando said, change your shirt, I'll pick you up. And I said, for what? He said, oh, you're preaching at the radio station. No warning, you're preaching at the radio station. Well, how long? For an hour. Okay, away we go. But the next morning was Saturday, and it's the first time I've ever had a day off over there. They found me a motorcycle, and we went motorcycle riding through Mindanao up in these mountains. It was just absolutely beautiful. The young man closest to us in the picture, when I had my appendix out in 2011, that young man is Rolando's son. He stayed with me in my hospital room from the time I came out of the operating room until they discharged me. He had to help me bathe. The nurses over there do not do anything other than take your vital signs and bring you medicine. He had to help me bathe. I had a wound in my side and a IV here. So he helped me wash parts that I couldn't wash by myself. And washing was just a pipe coming out of the wall with a faucet on it. The toilet was just a porcelain bowl about that high sitting on the floor. So it was not like getting in the shower to take a shower or sitting in the tub to soak. It was a very challenging thing to try to wash yourself when you got a patch here and an IV there that you're supposed to take care of. But he was just another one of my grandsons, JP. This Pastor Rolando's church, before COVID, this place was absolutely packed. This day there was probably 60 people there. There used to be 200. This is the kids program. One lady in the church gives me five $20 bills. And she says, find some way to be a blessing. So I gave one of the $20 bills to the lady that runs their school program. Most of these kids are not church family kids. They're kids that they bring in, they pick up and bring in. So they all got to have a special lunch that day of spaghetti from Jollibee. How about that? Huh? And then the young lady, that's JP in the short sleeve white shirt. And this young lady right here is his wife, and that's Rolando's grandson. That kid is the most spoiled kid in the universe. But interesting story about her. The first time I went there in 2001, I got to go up on this old school that had a big porch in front of it, and I got to preach the gospel. Here's this guy coming from, once again, no warning. I had no clue what I was going to be doing. Just, we're going over the school. Now you can preach to these kids. 1,500 kids on the lawn down below that big porch. She was one of them. She received Christ as her Savior that day as a little girl. And now she's the daughter-in-law to the pastor. So this thing is working, you know? It is working. So that's Rolando's family. These are the kids enjoying their special lunch. On to the schools. More preachers are preaching. Pastor Bobby Tago is in the blue shirt in the middle. His wife is a doctor. She literally saved my life. And if we have a minute, we can talk about that as we get on. But he's my host here. Now, after all day at the schools, one right after another, he had me preach to this pastor's fellowship. These guys will come 2 hours to be there because Pastor Bruce is there. It just blows me away. Got to preach at this. We were handing out Bibles in a public school, and one of the pastors came running. He said, "Pastor, we got a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "You're supposed to be preaching at the chapel at the Christian school, but Brother Rico's got the keys, and I don't know where they are." I said, "You got your motorcycle?" He said, "Yeah." So I got on the back of the motorcycle, and we rode down to the Christian school, and they don't care about helmets and little things like that over there. Just go for it. So I got to preach at the Christian school. Those are the teachers. The guy in the red shirt's the one that put me on the back of his motorcycle. We get a lot of stares in Mindanao just for being American in Mindanao, which is a heavily Muslim country. And the United States government says don't go there, but they let you buy tickets. As long as they'll let me buy tickets, won't stop me at the border, I'll keep going. Why? Because there's kids there. And I get to preach the gospel, or some other pastor gets to preach the gospel to these kids. Sometimes we go room to room all morning, groups of 50, 60 kids, 100 kids in some classrooms. Sometimes I get to preach to the whole group. We do whatever the principal wants us to do. Another Armel Colonnade and his wife, more schools, more kids. We stopped here at this church, Richard Pacho and his wife. They had a baby just after I left there. We've helped build that church. This is a pretty funny story. This was one of the widows that I ministered to. Her husband is standing to my side, behind his little pulpit. When he died, they blew up a picture and made a cut out of him and stood him up in front of the church behind his own little pulpit. So you probably won't do that after you leave, will you, Tim? Have your own little pulpit over here? But it's not our culture, amen? It's not our culture. So Brother Fernando...
Who is that preacher?
Fernando Duret?
Yeah, we supported him for years.
You supported him for years, and they've got a good church there. His son's taken over. If you still send support, it will go to a very good ministry. But he, once again, I spent, when I sat down with his wife and held her hand, she just started crying. And she's a strong lady. She just started crying. Things are hard over there. Life is so hard that I think they find it hard to be compassionate one to another. If somebody dies, well, people die all the time, you know? And so to have some old guy come and hold your hand and listen to your story and pray with you and cry with you, it's very different than what they're used to. This is the last morning of distribution. There's my army of pastors that are traveling with me. We load up the Bibles, we head out to the schools. You saw a Muslim headdress in that picture. After each class, well, most of the classes, we have to take a picture. This was my last class And that little girl stole the show. I could not compete with her. She was so cute. She absolutely stole the show. This is the group that was traveling with me. That had, you pick up a few, you lose a few as you move from place to place. But all of these are pastors, pastors' wives, maybe some pastor children if they're older children, and Bible college students that are just traveling with me from place to place. That night, we got to do a special service. The last night I was there, the crowd was down a little bit. Once again, post-COVID, people aren't coming out. Fernando's son, right here, and his wife are the ones that are doing the church now. That's the widow lady there. And their daughter and her husband are now living in the United States. She's a nurse, and they're living in the United States now. So I want to try to arrange it so they can come be with. And then here we are, Friday morning at the airport. People stare at us. I don't know why. You got all these Filipinos standing around and one old bald-headed American, and everybody's crying and praying and hugging and saying goodbye, and finally got on the airplane out of there. And I took this last picture of these kids, because they represent to me the longevity of the ministry. That little guy in the red shirt, I knew who his dad, who is now the pastor that I work with. I knew who his dad when he was younger than that. So it's 23 years of ministry, if I make it back this fall. So you build relationships, and it's all about relationships. And it's just such a blessing to be allowed to be over there. And I want to thank you for listening to the slides, and I just want to close briefly with a story of Janilyn's testimony. I don't know Janilyn. Never. I have met her once. Did I remember her? No. Because she was one face amongst hundreds. But I got a message on Messenger. She said, Pastor Bruce, because she knew who I was from the search. She said, 2013, a pastor came from America, and he preached to us at our school, and he gave us Bibles. And she said, was that you? Because there are probably a lot of Pastor Bruces, if you Google. So I messaged her back, and I said, yes, it was. And she said, Pastor Bruce, I got my Bible. I read it for a while, and then I put it away because I got busy, and I got married, and I had a baby, and we moved to a different city. But she said, all that time, the Lord was working on my heart that I had my religion. Her and her husband were still Catholic. I had my religion, but I did not have a relationship with Christ that you talked about. I went back to my home, and this was the burden of my heart. I went back to my home to visit, and I was sorting through my stuff. And I found my Bible. I started reading my Bible. And she said the tears just flowed down, and my heart was just opened up to Jesus. And I remember that the day I got my Bible was the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm in a good church now where I'm serving the Lord. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that we distribute 213,000 Bibles, so 213,000 souls got saved. I don't know. But in those 213,000 New Testaments, I bet a lot of them have a testimony that go along with them. I bet a lot of them have a testimony that go along with them. I'm praying for 25,000. This time they'll be whole Bibles, not New Testaments. Because the Bible Society is still printing whole Bibles in that dialect, but they won't do New Testaments any longer. I'm praying for 25,000. so that I can get into the schools and preach to these kids, or take pastors with me who will preach to those kids. John 3:16, Romans Road. Tell them their condition is sinners. Tell them about Jesus who died on the cross to pay for their sin. And give them an opportunity to believe in him. What happens after that? That's between them and God. Pastor Taylor.
Thank you very much, Bruce and Sharon, for coming and making the presentation, for going year after year after year. It's a wonderful thing to think of all those gospels throughout there, and much of it funded by Vermont churches. Are there churches from other states or all Vermont?
Except for North Adams. They would be just south of
Vermont. Yep, North Adams, who's part of our Fellowship of Churches. But that's hard to believe, isn't it? All of that coming from our little Fellowship of Churches. But I know that your church is the lion's share of that. They really get in there and get it done. And that is amazing, Northside Baptist Church. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer and we're going to be dismissed. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Let's ask God to give us safety as we go. Father in heaven, we thank you that we could be here this evening and witness this great effort of evangelizing, discipling, ministering to these people in the Philippines. Help us, Lord, as we do our part. Help us to do it to your glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming out.